Welcome back, Chad Easy Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. We will be joined shortly by Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, running in the Republican primary for Lieutenant Governor. He's seeking, of course, re-election. And it's been an interesting race. They held their last debate last night and discussed many different issues. We'll be visiting with him here shortly on the program. By the way, Wendy Davis, yesterday she announced what? That she wanted to have six different debates with Greg Abbott, and then she said that by leaving Lubbock out, that Greg Abbott just doesn't care about Lubbock, Texas, which I would just remind Wendy Davis and her supporters that Wendy Davis has not come to Lubbock, and Greg Abbott has been here at least three or four times in the past year or so. So that just kind of a little bit of a difference, I guess. Well, she has been to Midland and talked to a few crickets out there, so that was nice of her to do. Joining me right now to talk about his campaign, his reelection campaign for Lieutenant Governor in the Republican primary runoff election, is Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. And Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Chad, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Appreciate you coming on today. Let's talk about your campaign, and let's go ahead and get one thing out of the way, one topic out of the way, and this, of course, the issue that came out, I believe, on Friday of last week and persisted into the weekend and even to this week as well. And that would be these documents that that came out that Jerry Patterson, your campaign, has said that it was Jerry Patterson who, I guess, leaked these documents dealing with mental health issues of Dan Patrick back in the 1980s. Let me ask you two questions on this. Number one, did your campaign have anything to do with these documents coming out? Because Patterson told the Texas Tribune that you and him talked about these documents, a few weeks or about a month ago. And number two, do you think that voters should look at these issues from the 80s when they go and vote? Should this be an important issue?
Well, Chad, the answer is no, and I'm not sure. On the first one, yeah. Jerry Patterson called me about, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and said, he was sort of scratching his head, that there was a lawsuit between Dan Patrick and a reporter that was public record, but he was trying to get a copy of the files, but he didn't know what was in there. And I said, Jerry, then first of all, don't be doing anything with them, and don't do anything that would hurt me. I mean, if you don't think Dan Patrick's fit to be Lieutenant Governor, for heaven's sakes, don't do anything that would in any way hurt me. So that's why the only thing we said when they came out was that my heart goes out to the Patrick family, and prayers go with them. And I'm glad that years ago he got some help. Seems fine now.
And do you think now that people – you said no, and then you said maybe. I think when asked about whether or not people should look at this as an issue, do you think this should be an issue when people go and vote?
Well, it's only relevant. Chad, it's only relevant if people believe it speaks to any of my opponent's judgment and his capacity to govern. That's the only relevancy. And there's for heaven's sakes, through marriage, we've had some people that have had some problems in our family. Everybody has had someone that has had some issue. So there's no shame in that. The only thing I can't understand is this morning I saw Dan Patrick's latest ad, and there isn't one attack in that ad that's true. And why would they come out and say, my goodness, why would they come out and say that it was one hospitalization and for mild depression when I read the quorum report, that's not correct. It was several, two hospitalizations and severe depression. But so why just tell the truth, for heaven's sakes? That's one of the reasons, and I don't understand. In this race, Chad, Jerry Patterson put out his income tax returns, and Todd Staples put his out, and I put mine out back to, 2009, I think, 2008. But we can't, Dan Patrick won't turn in his federal income tax returns, and if he wants to be the lieutenant governor of Texas and preside over the Senate, and with a budget that runs about 95-plus both federal dollars and state dollars each year, I think it's a fair question. Show us what kind of businessman you are. Show us that you've got financial integrity. So just tell the truth, Dan. Tell the truth.
We're visiting with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, seeking re-election in the Republican primary runoff. It seems as though when I asked you about, you know, should this concern people about his mental illness that he had back in the 80s, it seems like it concerns you that you are concerned about that. If you were just a regular voter out there, that this would be something that concerns you. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I really don't want to get into that area. I happen to know Dan, and I'm running for re-election because I think I'm a better candidate. I think I have more integrity than he does. Even the Houston Chronicle, I don't agree with them very often, but they wrote a piece that said, you know, on politics, on policy, we're almost identical. But on character, there's a big, big difference. It went on to say that they've talked to most of the Texas senators, Republican and Democrat, and they couldn't find anybody that they said, and those senators didn't trust Patrick's word. And you got to have trust. I mean, if by chance we lose, I'm going to put my arm around him, and I'm going to congratulate him, and I'm going to urge him to go out and work harder in establishing a relationship of trust with the people in the Senate, in the House. I think that's critical to leadership.
It sounds like to me, and you brought up the fact that you two agree on many of the issues, and I had Dan Patrick on earlier today, and he said that one of the big differences between you two is leadership. Let me ask you basically the same question. What are the big differences between you and Dan Patrick?
Leadership. I mean, for instance, I have the most conservative, both fiscally and socially, record in the Texas Senate of anyone else. I have led on cutting taxes 54 times, Dan Patrick Eden. I have led on passing tort reform, whether it's medical malpractice, whether it's asbestos reform, whether it's loser pay. I mean, even the TLR have said that I passed bills that they didn't think I could ever get passed. Everything in the legislature, as Senator Bob Duncan knows, and by the way, a shout-out to him. Congratulations, Bob, for being the sole finalist to be the chancellor of Texas Tech. You're going to have a great, great fella as chancellor. This is a long line of really distinguished people, not only Bob Duncan, but also Kent Hance, also John Monford, really outstanding men. But I've led on property tax cuts, for instance. I mean, it took me a year and a half, sound bites, chatter, a couple of sentences, but it took me a year and a half of negotiating with the House and the governor. And then I got a bill passed in 2006 which cut local school property taxes by a third. $7 billion we lifted off of homeowners and businesses' shoulders, and the state absorbed that, which reduced property taxes some 20%. I want to go back and do that again, but this time make sure that we don't have appraisal creep. I've tried to pass in the past a lowering of the cap on appraisals, but I'm determined to twist arms as hard as I can to get it passed, because if we can get it down, the appraisal cap to inflation and population growth, that's roughly today 4%. And that's a 60% reduction in the increase in most people's appraisals each year. That's a big, big number.
Visiting with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. Last night, you two had a debate. It was the final debate going into the election, and seems as though one of the big issues of the day, and your opponent has brought this up before, and that is about appointing Democrats to leading different Senate committees. He has said that he would not appoint as many Democrats as you have appointed Democrats to lead Senate committees. You've said that you would continue to appoint Democrats. Where's the back and forth on this, and why is your way, in your opinion, the best way to go?
Well, this is a distraction. This is a red herring. My opponent said he would appoint some Democrats as chairs. This is a red herring. The only reason I do is because there's a senator's rule. It's called the two-thirds rule, Chad, and you know about that. The senators have rules, and that two-thirds rule requires that 21 senators are required to pass a bill. We got 19 Republicans. I hope we'll soon have 20. But we still don't have 21 if the senators keep that rule. And so I've tried to work with the more conservative Democrat senators and have them help us pass bills pursuant to the senator's rules. But I've made it very, very clear to them that we're going to have a Republican majority in every committee, and we do a strong Republican majority in every committee. At the end of the day, we Republicans are running the Senate, not the Democrats. Elections have results, and that's why the Republicans are in charge of the Senate and should be in the House.
I want to give you 1 minute. Tell voters who are going to the polls today why they should vote for you instead of your opponent.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've demonstrated over the last 10 years since you hired me the first time the leadership, the ability, the integrity, and the vision for the future. My opponent, and I'll just use a fact, my opponent was rated by one of the leading universities in a study last year as the least effective member of the Texas Senate, period. I'm not going to say any more. I've proven over and over again that I can lead. I've got the energy, the vitality. I've got the ability. I'm a successful businessman. Have been. That's been my career. And I look at results. I want to make sure we're moving Texas forward. For instance, like on the pro-life bill, my opponent said that he wouldn't have even brought the bill up that last day when Governor Perry said, make or break, I'm not going to call you back. I brought it up. We broke the filibuster because the senators didn't want to give up their right to filibuster. They wanted me to break the filibuster. We did. All hell broke loose. We came back a week and a half later and we passed it. Now that's standing strong against mob rule. And we got it done for you. And so the scoreboard reads 1 for life and protecting women's health and 0 for Wendy Davis. Her fall, her star in Rising, it's fallen. It's fallen. I have shown that I have the integrity to work with the senators. They believe me. They trust me. Unfortunately, I can't say that about my opponent. And I've got a bold vision for the future. I want to finish the job I started some 7 years ago. We've now appropriated about $800 million of your Texas tax dollars to fill up the toolbox of law enforcement. We now have the assets.
Lieutenant Governor, appreciate your time today. Have to get going. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
That's Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. We'll be right back.